The following message was given at Grace Community Church in Minden, Nevada.
All right, so this is the 2021 annual congregational meeting. And we're going to start, as we always do, by singing number this morning. So Isaiah 25, O Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you. I will give thanks to your name, for you have worked wonders, plans formed long ago with perfect faithfulness. For you've made a city into a heap and fortified city into a ruin. A palace of strangers is a city no more. It will never be rebuilt. Therefore, a strong people will glorify you. Cities of ruthless nations will revere you. For you've been a defense for the helpless, a defense for the needy in his distress, a refuge from the storm, a shade from the heat. For the breath of the ruthless is like a rainstorm against the wall, like heat in drought. You subdue the uproar of aliens like heat by the shadow of a cloud. The song of the ruthless is silenced. The Lord of hosts will prepare a lavish banquet for all the peoples on this mountain. A banquet of aged wine, choice pieces with marrow and refined aged wine. And on this mountain, he will swallow up the covering which is over all the peoples, even the veil which is stretched over all the nations. He will swallow up death for all time. The Lord God will wipe tears away from all faces, and he will remove the reproach of his people from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. And it will be said in that day, behold, this is our God for whom we have waited that he might save us. This is the Lord for whom we have waited. let us rejoice and be glad in his salvation. Amen. You may be seated. Let's pray together. Father, we do come to you once again, and we thank you for just a faithful congregation of your people. And we pray that as we take care of our annual business, that you would be with us. Father, I pray that you would remind us that even in the small details of the business part of church life, you can be glorified. And so we commit this time to you. We pray that you would help all of us to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Well, we're going to begin with our vote. We have two items to vote on this morning. And the first is the elders' recommended 2022 annual budget. And the second is Eric Elliott. And we keep having lay elder, but it's just elder. He'll be upright, Lord willing. And so we recommend both the budget and we recommend Eric. But I say that we more heartily recommend Eric than the budget. All right. So if you are a voting member and you have not voted yet, please raise your hand and the deacons will come by. Yeah, if you have them, you can turn them in, too. All right. We'll assume that we have all of the ballots turned in. There's Emily here in the middle. Levi in the back. Oh, there's someone else, Marla. Oh, Judy Marsh over here. No, we don't do that on a vote, all right? And Dave Bogman, can you just check Roger's pockets before the final tally is given? Roger will never live that down. The only time we missed a quorum was when Roger had 80 votes stuffed in his pocket. Well, last year, I said these words. 2020 has been a year unlike any other, and there does not seem to be any end in sight. This year has forced the elders to wrestle hard with what the Bible says about the issues of church and state. What has been in the past theoretical has become immediately real. The path we have chosen and the steps we have taken have not been taken lightly. Our primary concern is to honor God by our faith and faithfulness and to live out our ecclesiology. The doctrine of the church has been put to the test. We want to be true to our identity as the church and true to the head of the church. And as we move ahead, we need God's protection, his provision of wisdom, and open eyes to see gospel opportunities. So for 2021, I just say ditto. I do want to say one thing about 2020 to 21. And you do understand that being a revolutionary or a rebel is contrary to the spirit of the New Testament. But being faithful to God and to his word is the spirit of both Old and New Testaments. And so in our decisions to press ahead as we have, it has been with the full conviction that Jesus Christ is Lord of all and is head of his church. And although we don't know how everything's going to turn out this year, we're not prophets nor sons of prophets. The courage of pastors like James Coates and Tim Stevens in Canada, there have been others as well. And in the U.S., men like Rob McCoy and John MacArthur and others has been encouraging to many of us. in light of many others buckling and folding. And I want to point something out this morning, and that is that the churches who buckled and folded, who said, Romans 13, Romans 13, Romans 13, forgot that sometimes Caesar gets it wrong. And thankfully, in America, at least today, Caesar can be called to account, as in the case of Los Angeles County and Grace Community Church. Would remind all of us that they won and were awarded $800,000 from the County of Los Angeles. Sometimes Caesar gets it wrong, and the churches that held fast are, in fact, being vindicated. But just a reminder, our ultimate vindication doesn't come from a court. Our ultimate vindication comes from the Lord God. And so we will continue to press on, and we don't know, of course, what a year holds for us, but our convictions are firm and our direction is clear. So I want to give a next slide there, Nathan, a leadership and upcoming year report. So we're delighted to see Eric Elliott join the eldership, unless, of course, nobody voted yes. Don't worry. We know who the no votes will be. Don't worry about it. Kathy. Chad. Rebecca. I heard Ryan and Calvin were going to drop in and try to vote, too. So in all seriousness, we are absolutely delighted to see Eric join the eldership. And I want to just tell you why. First of all, Eric Elliott has an unsurpassed humility. And he really is one of the most humble and gracious men that I know. But his love for Christ and his love for Christ's people it's outstanding. It's remarkable in many ways. And Eric has, for a number of years, been a huge blessing to this body. And I know that that is now only going to increase. And so we are very happy about that. There will be assuming that the vote goes yes, there will be an installation service for Eric November 14th in the afternoon. And you might want to have all your brothers and your parents here for that. And if your dad's going to show up, let me know in advance. I want to collude with him on something. Does that sound daunting? The second thing is that we continue to labor, and I do mean labor, for a new pastor. You might wonder, well, what are we doing? I am on the phone almost every day. And I know that there are others who are helping me in this effort as well. And here we are, 9 months without having replaced Jason. But I want to just say that the choice that we make must be careful and it must be wise. And frankly, we cannot afford to miss God's direction on this. Charlie and Vic and I have talked a number of times about the, really, when you think about it, there's a risk. We want to do our best to minimize that risk by making a wise and godly choice. Now, we believe wholeheartedly that God's directing our steps towards a specific candidate, and Lord willing, we are close, and you all will be the second to know, believe me. And thankfully, also, we have room in our budget for another position, and that does allow us to look for someone who can fill in some gaps, and so please be praying about that. We have some other things that may be happening, too, which I can't go into any detail right now, but it would be just a great encouragement to us, but we don't want to be premature, all right? So that brings us next to just an explanation of my upcoming schedule. So as I looked towards the last quarter of this year, I assumed that we actually would have help by now. And so I accepted multiple speaking engagements on that basis. And of course, if I'd have been a prophet, I would have known better. So this coming week, Ariel and I are going to head to Virginia, and I'll be preaching in Virginia. Thankfully, Ariel can go with me. And then I'll turn around and come home for a day and then go to the Northwest Fire Conference in Port Angeles with Jim Neuheiser. And then at the end of the month, I'll be in Crosby, Minnesota, which I'm still not exactly sure where that is, at the Midwest Fire Conference, and then in November in Ohio. And then December 3rd and 4th, we'll be doing the section on the 1689 Project in Sacramento, and that would be Bob Gonzalez and me and Robert Briggs, and all are invited to that. That's a Friday, Saturday. So next Lord's Day, Bob Gonzalez from Reformed Baptist Seminary will be preaching all three services. And he'll be doing in Sunday school and in the morning, he'll be kind of continuing our Christ in the Old Testament series that Charlie and I have been doing in Sunday school. And then in the afternoon, he's going to take up the apologetic issue of holy war in the Old Testament, or, you know, what about killing all those Canaanites? And so and then the following Lord's Day, October 17th, I will be here, but we have a special guest. Pastor John Sampson will be joining us. John is from England, and right now he pastors outside of Phoenix. And John and I, over the last few years, have become friends. And John used to be in the health and wealth movement, and in fact, was employed at the Trinity Broadcasting Network. And he will be talking about, he'll be sharing his testimony in Sunday school of how God delivered him from that. And then in the afternoon, he'll be talking about how the health and wealth gospel is no gospel at all. Just a reminder also, Saturday, October 23rd, we'll have Ricardo Alvarez's service, memorial service here at 2 p.m. at the church, and would just encourage you to carve that time out. Ricardo was a beloved brother, and he's now face-to-face with Jesus. Our anniversary conference next year will be March 11 through 13, and we're going to have Jeff Johnson with us, who pastors Grace Bible Church and is the president of Grace Bible Theological Seminary in Conway, Arkansas. Jeff is the one who wrote the book, What Every Christian Needs to Know About Social Justice. He also has written many other books. His latest is The Failure of Natural Theology. And he's going to do a conference for us on apologetics. This coming Wednesday night is our missions night, and so we encourage you not to miss it. What time does it start? What? 5:30. Okay. And you don't need to eat dinner because you get, thankfully we support people in China, so we get pot stickers. And and then we support work in Zambia, so you can get some Nishima, which I don't recommend. Also, we're going to be restarting our missions committee. And we actually have so many missionaries that we need really a well-organized committee to keep things up to date. They'll be producing some materials as well as continue the monthly prayer reports. And so really this year or this coming year, things have just seemed to explode for missions for us. And that, of course, was one of our desires to get the building paid off, knowing that once that happened, we would have much more available funds to help support missionaries. And so we're gladly doing that. All right. And I've asked Eric Elliott to come up and just share real quick about we actually have a number of people that have really started to pour into our young people. And Eric is going to tell you about that.
All right. So I'm glad Roger's back from getting the votes counted. So I just want to take a second to just publicly recognize and thank Roger. For literally decades, he's served our youth. He's poured his heart out to them. And I think it's been over 30 years. And I'm thankful for you, brother. And if you get a chance, give him a big old hug and shake him up a little bit. So let's give him a hand. Okay, so the other reason I'm up here is to kind of dispel some myths. Okay, so back there, we're not playing Texas Hold'em. We're not smoking cigars. We're actually doing our best to invest in our kids and to teach them the gospel and to just, I guess, one of our main objects or main goals is to teach truth and have that collide with their lives. So how does that work? So we've been going through a book about the Christian's true identity. And I want just real quickly, these are the sections or the chapters that we went through. Union with Him, chosen in Him, pardoned in Him, righteous in Him, adopted in Him, one in Him. So that's good truth. That's wonderful truth. But how does it impact a high school kid? And that's what we're trying to get through. And I want to also just, it's not just me. We have a wonderful team of leaders. Allie Gadat's been helping faithfully. Ryan and Emily Scholes, Cody and Taylor, Eric and Jolene and CJ. So all this whole group is together, and our whole goal is to let's teach about Jesus. Let's get into His Word and make it applicable. Get it from here into here, and then actually have that spring forth into Douglas County High School. Does that make sense? So in Sunday school right now, what we've been doing for the young men is we've been investing in them and actually having them lead, which is super spooky for a high school young man. But on the other hand, check out what's been happening. We've got a young man that got up and talked about his whole presentation was about exalting Christ. And that led to a springboard into discussion about accountability, what that looks like. The last time a young man led, he actually surprised everybody and like, let's talk about money, stewardship of God's resources. So, and then on Wednesday night, we do have some fun. Cody and Taylor bring the spark and bring a ton of life to our youth group. So we do games. They haven't done Twister yet, which is good. So we will start with discussion and just kind of mingling around. We'll do a game, and then we get in Ryan Shoals leads music, and so we worship, we pray, and then we get into a book study. The next book study we're doing is The Gospel-Shaped Life. And then part of getting the truth into our into the kids' hearts is having them discuss things and actually own things. And so we'll break into small groups and we'll have a discussion time and then also just a time of prayer amongst the young people with a leader that's kind of overseeing it. And I'm just thankful. I'm thankful for the team that helps. I mean, there's no way that I can even be here all the time. And I'm thankful for the Shoals organizing it. The Shoals have been huge in just kind of pushing this forward. And so with that, be praying for the young people. There's been people baptized up here, and I praise God. All glory goes to God. We need our young people to realize that they're a part of this body. The body of Christ includes 16-year-old boys. The body of Christ includes 18-year-old girls. And that we're part of the body. And to see that part of the body intersect with old people, middle-aged people. And I'm thankful, even on Wednesday nights, you'll see there's going to be young people that are in charge of tables, missions tables. So that being said, be praying, and I'm praying that in 20 years or 10 years maybe, there'll be new pastors that are preaching the Word of God, and they came from this body. Thanks, guys.
Helps, and just want to say, Roger has actually led a youth group that Charles Spurgeon was in, so he's been at this for a while. Is that for me? You took him out, right? All right, so we're going to talk, give some membership updates. So obviously in January of this year, Jason Ching went to Reno and planted Dayspring. And a significant number of our members went with him. And the church is going well. And we are, of course, thankful to God for a successful church plant. We sent out 38 members to Dayspring. And that obviously does not include the children. As for Grace Community Church, we added 28 new members over this last year. Just a few removals that I need to mention. One, Levi Carter was removed for inactivity. Rhonda Forsyth, David, and Esther McCullough, all three of them moved. Margo and Nick Wilhelm resigned. We are removing Engel Mulhauser. Some of you remember Engel. Engel was at City of Refuge. She was baptized. She became a member and then moved to Reno very, very shortly after that. And almost immediately after moving to Reno, made decisions which really were a rejection of her faith. And so we're simply removing her. We don't have any way to contact her at this point, but we're still trying. By the way, the situation with Engel actually has been a catalyst for a discussion with Steve and Molly about the process of dealing with refuge girls who come and make a profession of faith. And then finally, Andrew Eshin is being removed as an associate member. Andrew is a college student who just recently returned to Tennessee. This summer, he revealed that he no longer considered himself a Christian. Some of us were able to have conversations with Andrew, and I had two very good conversations, had him read a book in between. Those conversations will continue. But since he no longer considers himself a Christian, we can no longer consider him a member, and so he's being removed. And I would just say, please pray for Andrew. If you are a parent, you can imagine the heartache. And so pray for Andrew. Pray for his mom and dad. Pray that the Lord would actually work mightily in Andrew's life. He is still at a Christian university, and I am praying that God actually uses Christian friends that are around him to impact him. Pray that God uses the things that he has both seen and heard growing up in a Christian home and in a Christian family. And so that is our membership report. Let me make one more other announcement, and then we'll take questions, and then we will do a couple other things and be done. So we have three new deacon candidates. Fred Rausch. Fred, you want to stand? Heiko Kofton. And Jeff Dickinson. I saw Jeff. He's somewhere. Oh, there he is. He's already standing. So we will vote on these three excellent men probably in January. We are very happy with these three men and would encourage you to get to know them if you don't. All right. And by the way, just as a free plug for Heiko, you can check out his YouTube channel, Heiko's Garage. It's fascinating. He does amazing things. It builds Volkswagens. He does. He has a YouTube channel. It's really cool. I have no idea what he's doing most of the time, but it's very cool. Neither Fred nor or Jeff have a YouTube channel. All right. Are there any questions up to this point on anything that we've covered? All right. One of my favorite books about the church is actually Dietrich Bonhoeffer's little book Life Together. Bonhoeffer didn't write it about the church. He actually had a little seminary during the Nazi regime that was shut down fairly shortly after it started. But they lived in community with each other at this little seminary. And Life Together are addresses that he gave and put into print. And there are a number of things about that book that always stand out to me, but simply the title. Church life is simply life together. Church life is family life. And one of the things that I've been incredibly grateful for is that Grace Community Church exhibits what it is to mourn with those who mourn, to weep with those who weep, to rejoice with those who rejoice. And over this last year, we rejoiced. Well, let's just say over the last 28 years, we rejoice with those who rejoice. So we attend weddings. And we rejoice. And we attend baby showers. In a Grace Community Church, there are always lots of baby showers. And we attend baptisms. And we rejoice. And we rejoice when God saves a family member. And we rejoice when God heals. And we rejoice when He provides in miraculous ways. And because God is faithful and He's good, He's given us many occasions to rejoice. But we also mourn with those who mourn. And we weep with those who weep. And so we bring meals to those who are in need. And most importantly, we pray for one another. The prayers of the saints on behalf of the saints has got to be one of the greatest privileges of being a part of the family of God. We bear one another's burdens and thus fulfill the law of Christ. We bear each other's burdens when somebody's sick. We bear each other's burdens when the child goes wayward. We bear one another's burdens. And so we attend funerals. And we go to the hospital. That's what the people of God do. Life together is also fighting alongside each other in the fight of faith. And it's not being plastic or pretend with each other. It's being real with each other so that we can help each other in our struggles. It's actually coming alongside and lifting up weary arms in the battle. And it's praying for each other. And even holding each other accountable. And encouraging each other. And yes, on occasion, rebuking each other. Life together is also serving alongside each other. I was at a meeting out at City of Refuge the other day, and we were talking to somebody about joining the team out there, and Steve and Molly were talking about how wonderful Grace Community Church is, and said all we need to do is actually call for a work day. And you'd have more than half of the church show up. That's what Grace Community Church does. We serve. In fact, you may hear pastors complain from time to time about the 90-10 rule, right? 90% of the work is done by 10% of the people. I'm thankful that at Grace Community Church, that's not the ratio. But we also worship together. Life together is worshiping together. Singing God's praise with one voice together. Some voices are better than others. Some voices are louder than others. But at the end of the day, it's all one voice. It's hearing God's word together with one heart. And then taking the things that we hear and walking together with each other in faith. And it is, again, praying for each other. And so Grace Community Church really is a wonderful family. And I'm always grateful and I'm always amazed at this family. And so on this 2021 annual congregational meeting, I give thanks to God because God has done and is doing a wonderful work here in our midst, not just for this generation, but for generations to come. And so pray and worship and pray and serve and pray and mourn and pray and rejoice and then pray again. Well, we're going to do something a little risky. I'm going to lead a song a cappella. Ariel, come up here and help me. Paul, come up and help Ariel. Now, I know how the song goes. I don't know if these two do. So you guys follow me. For some of you, you'll know this song, but if you do, it will date you. All right, so let's go ahead and stand and we'll close. That doesn't help me. Father, what an amazing thing that you would take people from different backgrounds and different personalities, and you would take people that could not be any more different, and yet in the sweet bonds of Jesus Christ, you have indeed bound us together. Father, we thank you. We give you praise for your wonderful faithfulness to us. We thank you, Father, for the unity and the peace and the love and the joy which are ours in Christ Jesus. We pray, Father, that you would help us to jealously guard that. Father, we thank you for providing us with a new elder. We thank you for our brother Eric Elliott. And Lord, we also pray that very, very soon you would provide us with another full-time pastor. And Father, we pray that he would be a blessing to this congregation and a blessing to the next generation. Father, we also pray for our young people. And Father, we thank you that they are in a body that is serious about them hearing the word, which is a reflection of them being in families which are serious about them hearing the word. And Father, we pray that your word would not return void, but would accomplish its holy purposes in the lives of our young people. We pray, Father, that over this next year, we pray that every month we'd have baptisms because we have so many professing faith in Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for your faithful provision to this congregation. Father, we know that it is you who gives us the power to make the incomes that we make. And it is a pleasure and an honor to in turn return to you that which you first given to us. And Father, how faithful you have been. We pray that that faithfulness would continue. And so, Father, we commit ourselves to you today and to the word of your grace, which is able to build us up and give us an inheritance among the saints. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
We hope that you were edified by this message. For additional sermons, as well as information on giving to the ministry of Grace Community Church, please visit us online at gracenevada.com. That's gracenevada.com.